I'm going to finish. Reading from, or reading sections from a long poem that I think just finished. And that will be out as a little book this spring sometime. And it's in 20 sections. I'm only going to read about 10 of them. They're 23 lines long. And when I started the poem, and all the time I was working on it until recently, I saw it really as a sequence or a series, but it doesn't have any real logical. I can't claim it to be really one poem or even a sequence. I think the only thing they really have in common is they're all 23 lines long. Although those recurring themes, but there's three or four different ones that come up. I think I'll read 10 or so of them. I use the first line of each one I jerk up as the title, and then I repeat it as the first line. The whole poem is called At the Far End of a Long Wharf. Although if anybody hears a line, and I'm serious, if you hear, I'm not sure about that title, if anybody hears a phrase or a line that would sound like a good title for the poem, let me know. Early on, this decade's light smelled. Early on, this decade's light smelled like something burning, and now of something smoldering, the end of the decade smells. The grave forever lingering of limb smell exploded. Some bodies, many of our generation blown ever which way, gone. And choking on that smell, we created another. The faint, exhausted, perfumed puffs of ennui. A whole generation looking over its shoulder, retromancing nothing, using the peripheral nothing, and forward, the future. It's arrived. Forgetfulness, jobs, even some money, which we didn't want, but which we got, our actual share, actually. To purchase amnesia, it doesn't take much. We could count the dead, and they would be mostly men. And then we could count the women, whose turn it is now, mostly alive, nailing down each day with an X of something done on a calendar creeping towards a new century. When I say, I wrote this before they were talking about drafting women, when I say whose turn it is now, I don't mean to get drafted. I mean to try to run things. There were some summers. There were some summers like this. The blue barn steaming, some cowbirds dozing with their heads on each other's shoulders, the electric fences humming low in the mid-August heat. So calm the slow sweat existing in half-fictive memory. A boy wandering from house to hayloft to coop, past a dump where a saddle rots on a sawhorse, through the still forest of a cornfield, to a pastor talking to himself, or to the bored, baleful Holsteins nodding beneath the round shade of catalpa, the boy walking his dumb trail towards the brook in a deep but mediocre gully, through skunk cabbage and pop weed, down sandbanks, a descending quarter-acre Sahara, the boy wandering, thinking nothing, thinking sweatbox, sweatbox. The boy moving towards a minnow whose slight beard tells the subtleties of the current, holding there in water cold enough to break your ankles. Charlie Simic once said that the only time water tastes good to him is at a poetry reading. He's right. Moon annoyed, cognac's ashen thrill. Moon annoyed, cognac's ashen thrill diminishing. Irritated by sunlight, decent sleep, good food, and piles of money. Nothing helps the heebie-jeebies when they start. Like hunger revving up when they begin their tossing cruise beneath the skin, hauling the spine erect with fear. Nothing. Nothing helps. What are the origins? Embryo, embryo, where are you going? What do you know? Nobody can say, or will, but it's got to do, you can bet, with death, which some people will tell you is a part of life. Right. Personally, I don't care. It's over you others I worry. Why you worry? How can you fear what hardly equals the blank wash of rain on slate shingles? How can you fear what is not sleep, what is not quiet, what is sexless, what has no memory, what lacks imagination, what does not? After a few whiffs of another world, he decided to stay with the stench of the present. Dumpster lids everywhere rising like cakes, garbage scows moving in long, orderly lines across the harbor. The old factory, he loves it, even when it wafts racking all points of the compass. It's always invisible and takes its direction according to the whimsy of wind or fans or the waves of a hand. Cave dwellers knew it, and dogs. The bear smell of dirt on cabbage, the snow on your arm smell, even in the abstract. Fear smell like spit on a knife blade, and what the worms inhale, and then the smell of dew on barbed wire, the sweet, thick smell of sex, slick, our lungs giddy and pink with it. It's not the world which is good or bad, and so we run our noses over everything. Even the dumb have this sense. His job is honest and simple. I used to have this job. Poem talks about. His job is honest and simple, keeping. His job is honest and simple, keeping the forest tidy. He replaces, after repairing, the nests on their branches. He points every pine needle north. Polishes the owl's stained perch. Feather dusts the entrance to the weasel's burrow, soft brushes each chipmunk, the chinchilla of the forest banal, buffs antlers, gives sympathy to ragweed, tries to convince, like a paternal and inept psychiatrist, the lowly garter snake that he should think of himself as he parts the grass as an actor parting the stage curtain to wild applause. Arranges in the clearing the great beams of light. This is his job, a day's, a week's, a life's calm, continuous, low-pain devotion. At dawn, he makes a few sandwiches and goes to work. I love this, he thinks, as he passes the wild watercress. It's green, as stunning as surviving a plane crash in the small, inaccessible swamp. It's the little towns I like. It's the little towns I like with their little mills making ratchets and stanchions, elastic web, spindles, you name it. I like them in New England, America particularly, providing bad jobs good enough to live on, to live in families even, kindergarten, church suppers, beach umbrellas. The towns are real, so fragile in their loneliness, a flood could come along, and floods have, and cut them in two, in half. There is no mayor, the town council's not prepared for this. Three of the four policemen are stranded on their roofs, and it doesn't stop raining. The mountain is so thick with water, parts of it just slide down on the heifers, soggy, suicidal in the pastures below. It rains in these towns, and because there's no other way, your father gets in a rowboat so he can go to work. A lit match is dropped in a saucer. A lit match is dropped in a saucer of milk. The day might end this way or begin. You might or might not like the sound, like an ant snapping awake, like stale bread dipped in water and cut in fear. It's bad etiquette, you know, to put a match out in a saucer, particularly of milk. It is too pure milk and should not be burned in this or any other way. The smell? Imagine the afterburn of a vulture dropping down on a corpse. Sensory, sensory. We sit at a table with matches, with milk, our brains as powerful and dull as pickaxes, the bright morning outside raging. We sit inventing some work to forgive us, or a God who, as everyone knows, is not in the sky, but inside us. Look, those are his eyes pushing up like half moons beneath your own two blind thumbnails. You go to school. I'm thinking up here my own sort of public school education in a small town in Massachusetts in the 50s and 60s. You go to school to learn. You go to school to learn, to read, and add, to someday make some money. It, money, makes sense. You need a better tractor in addition to the game room. You prefer to buy your bean curd by the barrel. There's no other way to get the goods you need. Besides, it keeps people busy working for it. It's sensible, and therefore, you go to school to learn, and the teacher, having learned, gets paid to teach you how to get it. Fine. But you're taught away from poetry, or say, dancing. That's nice, dear, but there's no dough in it. No poem ever bought a hamburger, or not too many. It's true, and so every morning, it's still dark. You see them, the children, like angels being marched off to execution or banks, their bodies luminous in the headlights, going to school. I don't mean college, of course, that has nothing to do with it. Three more sections. This is probably the most recent. I worked on this poem for a solid year. And this is probably the most recent, and it's touched off by the Iranian thing and thoughts of the draft being reinstated, etc. thinking about the possibility of our country being in war again, which for those of you, and I'm sure most of you do, only a few years ago we were involved in war. If you snap the aerial photographs, if you snap the aerial photographs from the bomber's belly, and later you develop them, they might look like cheese, or the only part of a donut you remember. Or maybe in the red light, or in the fatigue of horror, like a green on a golf course, miraculously riddled with holes. The rubble around the rim of each crater is finer than the sand around an ant's hole, or so it appears from here. On the real Earth, within the perimeters of this particular grid, a few water buffalo stumble around, deaf and dumber than ever, bleeding from their ears. It's not nice. The chickens hanging upside down on their roosts, and you see, even if a crop survives, the roots and the earth around them is so shocked, everything grows trembling, or not at all. Nothing good will come of this art, this photography. And, it might be added, when they explode, bombs kill humans. Like a wide anvil from the moon to light. Like a wide anvil from the moon, the light on the cold radiator and all the windows in a row along the spine close, zeros winding tight. And to make the rattlesnakes feel at home, a private cactus farm. There's not an eek's chance of getting out of here. Some apples, bruised, mute, are nailed back to their branches, and the south wind, low, hot ash, cruises through a crook in the apple tree's trunk. The dirt, not known for its tenderness, on its knees somewhat, and one munificent ant carries a crumb to the crumbless. Every pond on earth agrees. They are tired of being dragged, all those hooks for drowned children. All this beneath the ceaseless lineage of comets. Books help a little. Grown, soaked, one broken, etc. thief. Tree surgeons lost above tree lines. Chasm sidewalks, a hatful of blanks, sore gut bore. Yes, it does. It does feel exactly fine, crawling ashore, emptying the boots of water, and frankly, here's to the clouds the color of bone. Here's to the indecipherable path home. Here's to the worm sweat in the loam. Last point. Beneath the apple branches bent dumbly. Now I just noticed I use the word, I have about 14 ants in my poems. I just have an obsession with those little ants. Beneath the apple branches bent dumbly. Beneath the apple branches bent dumbly with the blank weight of their blossoms, the grass and me completely alive with one thought like a shin struck with an axe. What is the same each summer? I know that the ring of cold slung through my chest grows colder, that the mountain's lowly crags grow imperceptibly rounder, but what is the same? Not the driveway, littered in a few months with crushed apples aswarm with yellow jackets, those cruel insects. Not the hackneyed rock garden, its pool for goldfish long filled. with dirt and a few ill-bred petunias, not the heat bugs and their high whine. What is the same? Only the incomparable chins of horses. Only a desire to place the mural of a pond horizontal as it belongs. Only the long haul in the linear world. I'm going. Thank you.